Welcome to Worst Case Scenario, a podcast about anxiety. I'm one of your hosts, Yusung.
I'm your other host, Rebecca.
If you're new to the podcast, each week one of us will bring in something we're anxious about, and then we read a scene we've written that's the worst case scenario for that anxiety.
We're back.
We're back after like a 2-3 month hiatus.
Several months. Season two.
It's all about the production value.
Oh, yeah.
I think a good way to start would be to ask, has your mental health improved since season one?
Yeah.
Really?
Not because of this show.
Yeah.
I don't know if it has. I think so. I feel okay. How about you?
Mine is a flat out like,
no, it's worse.
Yeah.
Yours is worse. I win. Or maybe you win. I guess for this podcast, you win.
Did you ever have those arguments in middle school where it's like, my life is worse than yours?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those debates where everyone loses. There is this, in between season one and now, there is this moment of time where, and you know this, but I would just wake up depressed.
I wouldn't even
have that sweet, sweet moment in the morning where it's like, where I would remember that I was depressed.
Well, I think I wanted to have like a reoccurring tally of like how many seconds did it take after you woke up before your immediate thought was like no.
Yeah,
because for me it's every day immediately I wake up and my immediate thought is fuck or no or why god why.
Yeah, we should make an Excel spreadsheet so people can record our behavior.
It's like instead of a dream journal you write your first thought and it's just every day is fuck.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show.
It took me 2.5 hours to wake up today.
Jesus.
Yeah. I kept falling asleep again.
I've been doing this thing where, and I don't want to spoil anything that we're going to do in our later segments, but my philosophy lately has just been trying to like, and I've failed almost every day, my philosophy has just been trying to get out of bed as soon as possible, like physically.
Oh yeah, and not just like lazing around on your phone and stuff.
No, and I'm just watching other people play video games for the first 2 hours of like my
day.
That's not like that's nonsense. It's making me feel worse.
Yeah. Have you been going on your morning walks?
There was a period of time where I was going on morning walks. They were really helpful.
Yeah. But you didn't like it. They were just. It's helpful.
I
once you're doing it, you like it.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah.
Or at least
you like that you can say that you did it.
No, I'm not. I'm not about the appearances. I didn't.
No.
Okay. I don't. I don't Instagram my food. I don't tell people about my morning walks unless they're my close friends.
You do Instagram your texts.
Yeah, but that's different.
Yeah.
I Instagram my texts when I'm not doing well.
Right.
I haven't been doing a lot of the things that I've wanted to do for a good mental health.
Really?
But listeners will be, I'm sure, pleased to know that we both have therapists.
We do.
Yeah. Okay. And get ready, because season two is all about the segments. And it's going to be...
I thought it was all about the production value. Make up your mind.
The segments are a part of the production value. Okay. Okay, welcome to a new segment called Tales from the Couch, a segment where we reveal things that we've said to our therapists
<This music. laughs>
from the comfort of a soft cloth cushion. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. What a...
look, I don't want to speak in memes, but this is a truly, like, are you feeling it now, Mr. Krabs kind of moment.
I am. I'm definitely more tired now. Again.
From listening to the music?
It's so soothing.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It took me so long to get out of bed, and it's so hot outside.
It's really hot. Rebecca, on that note, would you want to reveal something that you said to your therapist while I take off my sweater? Because it's so hot.
Do you have something underneath?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, thank fucking God.
Season two, all about exhibition. Okay, all right. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
All right, I'm going to take off my sweater.
Okay, what have I said to my therapist lately? I said to her... Oh, a couple weeks ago I went and I said, I'm not sure if this is helping. But reflecting on it now, it definitely is. But like in the moment we did have, then we had like a 25-minute conversation about like whether or not, like how to make this more efficient or effective or whatever.
Was she offended?
No, not at all. Oh, okay. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's very hot.
Yeah.
And look.
Yeah.
Sorry. no, it's very hot outside. It's not just me thinking about my therapist.
Right. I believe an appropriate follow-up question would be, how hot is she?
Yeah, she's really foxy. I don't even know if I've ever met someone that I would have, like, my immediate description of them is they're foxy, but she's
right.
She's foxy.
Has that ever, like, impaired your ability to...
No. She's also, like, very intelligent and cool and, like, great at her job and, like, has a lot of value. I'm not reducing her to her looks, but it is
right.
jarring.
Neither am I.
She's, I mean, she's just, like, very obviously hot, so it's, like, hard to deny. I'm not alone in thinking this. Like, I know a couple different people who go to her, and
right.
we all have concurred that she's smoking hot.
Right.
So, yeah. my friend that also goes there, she texted me right after one of her sessions and was like, I'm not going to say her name, but she's like, blank was wearing like a skin tight tank maxi dress that was like a white dress that was like covered in cherries and like strappy heeled sandals. I need to stress, that's not even like my type, but
right.
like, goddamn, like, whose therapist dresses this way?
Right.
I mean, she's a babe.
And you and I come from different worlds because you're able to talk about this with your other friends. Meanwhile,
yeah.
I dreams where my therapist is spooning me, and
I'm
obviously way more possessive than I like to admit.
Right.
About like...
I don't dream about my therapist.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, no, totally.
I mean, I have my thoughts in my conscious daily life. So anyway.
Yeah. So what was her, did you guys like come up with a plan or what was the ending?
Yeah, we actually did. It was like very productive because I'd already been going for like a month a month and a half. And I was like feeling a little frustrated because I felt like I was just showing up and just like telling her just shit that has happened during the week. But it didn't feel productive at all. And it kind of felt like repetitive. And I wasn't sure that anything was happening or that we were talking about anything that like we really needed to be talking about. And I didn't really know how to. So anyway, she said like, well, then we have to really think about what are you trying to accomplish and like what is really bothering you and what would you really like to work on. And
season two is getting serious.
Yeah, we really like dove into it and it really helped. We like made a plan. She told me to get a journal. I'm supposed to be writing in it. She didn't like. She's not so. Hard on me about it, like in that she was like every day. She just said like try to do it every other day. That was 2 weeks ago. I've written it twice, but look, I'm trying. You know?
Yeah. No, of course.
We skipped a session this week. She's out of town, and if I don't have someone holding me accountable, I'll never do anything.
Right.
And so I haven't written in it in a week.
Thank you for coming to do this podcast.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Damn, I mean, that's two more times than another person who would like to write in a journal, me.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And
yeah, I mean, she wants me to, like, write down goals and then in one column, basically, and in the other column, write what's my motivation for those goals. Like, why do I want that and what do I hope to get out of it? And I know that sounds, like, stupid, but
no.
It makes sense because I don't really think about it that much.
Wait.
Because I'm kind of aimless, an aimless person.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. So.
I'm, in terms of like feeling stupid for learning things in therapy, I remember in college, so like not too long ago, one of my therapists.
Okay. We get it. You're very young.
No, I'm not.
We both had birthdays during the hiatus.
Yeah,
and
we both had birthdays.
Very raw. Anyway.
I don't think either of us told anyone, right? Like, we were very quiet about our birthdays.
I'm pretty low-key about it, yeah.
All right, me too. Anyway, in college, one of my therapists held up, like, a sign to me, like a printout with, like, different smiley faces with, like, different emotions on it. I was like, how do you feel?
Oh, that's very hard.
Because, like, I was answering things, I feel like the world has a system, versus, like, I feel sad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, not talking in emotions, but talking in thoughts.
Right. Were these, like, emojis, or were they, like...
Yeah, they were basically emojis.
Well, I mean...
Right. I feel skyscraper,
I feel,
and plant
I feel
fireworks.
Leaf in the wind,
right.
Red balloon.
Can I tell you something that I've said to my poor therapist?
Please.
Okay, this literally happened like a few days ago, and we were talking, and I don't want to spoil any future anxieties that I might have to talk about on the show, but I was just saying how like I don't know how to have fun.
Mm.
She was like, "What?" Well, I'm trying to brainstorm with some ideas, and
brainstorm on how to have fun.
Yeah. Look, I. And I was like, well, I like making videos for people. And then I said, quote, the performative aspect is a little unfortunate because it requires someone to bear witness. And I was just like,
oh, my, you're a very serious person. Didn't she say that to you one time? And I'm reiterating.
Yeah.
I agree.
And sometimes, okay, this is awful. And I admit this to you and our listeners only. But sometimes, like, I was like half proud of myself for having like a complex idea. But I immediately was like, fuck. Off like
yeah,
to myself
yeah, yeah.
Like roll my eyes. I couldn't.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
yeah.
These are the things that I say to my therapist.
That so someone has to bear witness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's performative.
That's really. We are very different in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know how to have fun?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
No. I mean, yeah, but like my idea of fun. A lot of the time is just being alone at home, like on my computer, like
same.
In the fetal position with my computer, like right on its side on my bed for many hours. That's like really fun to me. But like other things are also fun, I guess.
I don't mean to, and let's get into my anxiety soon, but like, I don't mean to challenge you. Do you think that's fun or do you think that? Okay. The second half of that sentence was, or do you think you're caught in a spiral of anxiety?
No. I think if you looked at my face while this was happening, I think I'd be grinning like a madman.
Really?
No, I mean, I think I'd have a look of contentment and I'd just be, you know, peaceful and quiet.
Gotcha.
Like a dead person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been playing Super Mario lately and sometimes you like turn off your Switch, which is a video game console, and then you see your reflection in the TV and I'm not smiling.
So you're not enjoying it.
I don't know.
You are.
I think I'm enjoying it, but
I think it's very common, and by common I mean like plebeian to assume that one must be smiling in order to be expressing having fun. You are feeling it inwardly and you don't need these sort of boring, trivial expressions such as a smile.
Right. Super Mario Odyssey is unfortunate because it requires someone to bear witness. okay.
All right.
Season 2. Focused. My anxiety this week.
Yeah.
Is that, and please.
Hit me. Come on.
Please don't agree with me too quickly.
Okay. I'm going to sit on my hands. Literally doing it.
That I might be, I'm too sensitive. That was the sound a cartoon balloon makes before it pops, but
it's a tea kettle before it.
Yeah, before it. Yeah,
yeah, like a stovetop tea kettle.
We've been friends for some time.
About a year.
Yeah.
How the time has flown. I feel like I've known you an eternity. In a nice way.
Okay. Your tone betrays you. No. We talk a lot because we work together.
Yeah, because it's hard to shut up.
Yeah, it's hard to, yeah.
Yeah.
Both of us like talking. you definitely know that I'm maybe like a little too like volatile with my, with how I deal with things and my emotions. And I, like, I'm super emotional.
No.
I don't hide it.
No. No. That's the get out. Like, no.
And I'm worried because this is no way to live. Like,
it's not sustainable for sure.
For sure. I just feel too much. And I spiral frequently because of little things.
Yeah.
Should we read my scene?
I think we should.
Okay. So if this is your first time joining us, one, I apologize, but two, the way that this will work is that I'll read the stage directions and my character, and Rebecca will be reading the parts of Rebecca and a new coworker.
Oh my God. I'm in your scene.
If you're just joining us, Rebecca's imitating me when I was genuinely happy that she wrote me into her scene. I'll say coworker and Rebecca before the lines to differentiate if needed.
Or I can do it.
Okay, yeah. Interior, office day. Yusung and Rebecca have just finished showing a new coworker around the office. So that's pretty much it. Here's your desk area, and yeah, let us know if you have any questions.
Coworker. Thanks, I appreciate it. So what do you guys do besides work?
I try to write. I play video games.
Oh, so you're like an indoor person?
Beat. Yusung solemnly looks down. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right. I don't go out. It's cool that it's cool that you have friends that you probably hang out with. Rebecca interjects.
I'm your friend.
It's cool that you have a social life and have people that you talk to, and I'm just I'm an indoor person. Yusung leaves. Coworker.
Coworker. What the fuck? Rebecca. I know. He's really sensitive, and that's why none of us hang out with him or try to talk with him. Coworker. That was awful. Rebecca. Yeah, usually we say vague pleasantries and then try to leave.
Yusung comes back still sullen.
Rebecca. Doing great. Coworker. What a good shirt you're wearing.
Yusung smiles, satisfied and foolish. interior. FedEx. Day. It is now 20 years in the future. Yusung is working at a FedEx. He has no friends. A stranger approaches the desk. Hello? Yusung looks up. It's the coworker from before. Now they're wearing a gold cape and carrying a scepter. Oh.
Oh. How are you doing?
I have no friends. Why didn't you tell me what I was doing wrong?
You were the one that was way too sensitive.
I was not.
You cried when I said, hey, you got a haircut.
I was very scared. It was too short. Another pause. So nothing you said to me was true?
Not most of it, no.
So my writing?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And the shirts that I wore?
You wear very unremarkable shirts.
Yusung hands over some envelopes and the coworker leaves. Later that night, Yusung eats ramen in a dimly lit apartment kitchen and reflects somberly on his life like a Nabokov character, except with less nuance and prestige. End scene.
Oh my god.
Yeah, dude.
I don't agree with your portrayal of me, but cool.
What you did? Rebecca, the part that was like, I'm your friend?
No, that's the only part that made sense.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's really kind of you.
Such an asshole.
So if like that happened, you wouldn't be like...
I don't think I've ever lied to you.
Really?
Yeah.
You've definitely knowingly not said something to try to protect my feelings, I think.
That's different than saying something fake. That's a compliment.
No. And this isn't a... I am not
no,
j'accuse.
No. I didn't feel like you j'accused me, but I
Yeah.
I just would, for the record, would like to say I've never complimented you. I've never complimented you, from a fake...
Right.
I don't go out of my way to compliment people if I don't mean it. It's a lot of work.
And Rebecca, please don't take this the wrong way. I truly mean, the few times that you have complimented me, they've meant a lot because I can tell that you're being sincere.
Good. And that is important to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And now I feel like it's the appropriate time to ask, do you think I'm too sensitive?
Yeah. But that's okay. That's just your personality.
Oh, boy. I know, but I'm trying to...
You're working on it.
I'm trying to work on it. Is there anything that you recall that was like, oh, boy,
I mean, I've offended you so... There have been plenty of times you've gotten mad at me for things I've said. It's the opposite of what you think, what you described. I've said things and you've, gotten very upset with me because you're very sensitive.
I'm sorry for those moments.
Oh, it's okay. I was probably wrong. I don't remember.
Was there ever a point that you seem... Fairly, albeit, we're similar in our anxiousness, I think, but you're definitely more, not easygoing, but you're able to let things, roll off your back more, I think.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think I also am more numb, just in general,
just caught in the undertow?
Dead inside, yeah.
Linkin Park.
It's a really great reference. I'm definitely more, I let things roll off my back more easily. I don't hold grudges, really. There are, very few people in this world that I really hate, that I personally have known. And it's mostly just because, they're bad people. It's not, I just let go of things pretty easily because I'm very tired. And things that take, I'm not, in general, kind of in every area of life, if something takes effort, I'm, not that interested. And being upset... It takes a lot of effort, and yeah.
I have so many questions. Were you always like this? Or was this a learned thing?
I think it might be since moving to the West Coast, maybe I'm really embracing that sort of that Cali West Coast easygoing vibe.
Yeah, you hang out in Abercrombie and Fitch's a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm always like in Hollister and on the beach.
Yeah.
No.
Have I asked you this before? Did your parents apologize to each other?
They have a bad relationship.
They
have no relationship. Maybe if they apologized once in a while.
I didn't mean.
I think there were a lot of insincere apologies.
Right.
For placation. Is that a word?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunate because it requires someone to bear witness.
Yeah.
Oh boy. But like I didn't.
It's a performative apology.
Versus a consultative one.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Did your parents apologize to each other a lot?
They apologize to each other that much.
But they're great. They have a good.
I think they have like an okay relationship.
Yeah. So who cares about apologies then?
But it's more like, I don't think they let things go very easily.
Yeah.
They're very like, when they're upset, they focus on that upsetness.
Yeah. I have relatives like that.
Yeah. And as a result, I think like I have a hard time, one, noticing that I'm super upset or like fixated on something, but two, like escaping.
Yeah. I think for me, I have a hard time keeping stuff in. So if something's bothering me, I want to talk about it right away, even when it's not the right time. So anytime I'm upset and I immediately want to talk about it, I immediately want to hash it out, no matter who with. Because I hate pretending, I hate lying, and I hate, I just hate putting on like a show, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like if I'm upset, I want to tell you and I want to talk about it so that we can like move on and let it go because this is not a joke. I think it gives you cancer. Like holding onto that
I think
it straight up gives you cancer.
So
I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure.
Right. The American Health Association does not endorse any of the
grudges views. For sure. It's like radiation.
I was thinking about that earlier today because I was just like, I'm this is something that I worry about a lot of just like, I'm so stressed for sometimes with good reason. Most times I'd say good reason.
I mean, yeah.
And it's like probably the most damaging thing.
Definitely.
To my health.
What's hard for me also, like a lot of times when I feel anxious, and I've talked about this before, but like it's not about a specific thing. It's just like little things build up in all areas of your life. And then they're like, when I don't deal with things, because like there are plenty of things in my life that aren't like confrontation level type things that I don't deal with, and they like build up, and then I build up all this like feeling of anxiety. And that definitely feels worse, and I make myself feel sick, and I can't pinpoint what it's about.
Yeah,
you feel physically ill.
Yeah.
It makes you physically ill. Yeah. So I was actually talking about this with my therapist. We were talking about the goal and motivation thing.
Right.
And she was saying how some people some people do things from a standpoint of, I guess it's like internal versus external motivation, and internal motivation... Right. So internal motivation comes from a place of
like you want
it's goal oriented.
Yeah.
And external motivation comes from a place of fear. So you're either afraid of what people will think, or you're afraid of letting people down, or you're afraid of punishment.
Real quick. Do you think most of your life revolves around internal or external motivation?
100% external.
Yeah, me too.
I have zero internal motivation.
Yeah. How much of that do you think is coming from an immigrant family?
I think a lot, probably.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Yeah. So we're both first generation American through at least one parent.
Are we like I was born in China. So
oh
I'm
no,
like
actually, so
0.5.
Right, so you're 0.5. So so you're not born, but you're naturalized citizen.
Yeah.
So
I moved
here
when I was four.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm first generation born in this country from an immigrant, but my dad's American. But my mom's American too, but just not from here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder if that is what it is.
Because I think like
I don't know if that's really what it is, because I know plenty of people whose parents are, a lot of my friends' parents are immigrants, and they have a ton of motivation because they're, you know.
I was watching someone else play video games.
Not like in like a friend, you were sitting next to a friend on a couch watching them.
You know very well that I was watching someone online stream Hearthstone. But like,
I don't know what that is. I know it's a game, but
it's like a card game. but like electronic.
Oh my god. Yeah. Is it fun?
It's pretty fun. It's also very frustrating.
Have you played the game?
Yeah.
Is it more fun to watch or to play?
This is the awful thing. It's like it takes away the stress and the decision making if you watch someone else do it. You know, like,
yeah, no shit.
I'm not happy about this. But anyway, right. She was talking about, she's in China and she speaks English. Mm-hmm. She's talking about like how the education system is so like strict there, and yeah. It's like that's all external motivation. Because when you're a kid, you don't. What do you mean? Like, you can want to do good by your parents, sure, but like doing homework from 7 p.m. to 11 every night, like that's external. That's you don't have any say in it. So I think if you're raised from that, in that like environment, it's certainly gonna.
Oh yeah, I mean, I vividly any time in through school and then after post school, but I would not do things because I was like, this will be really useful to me later, or like I'm excited to do this thing. It's like I have to do it because they told me I had to, and I need to show them that I did it tomorrow. They'll be mad at me if I don't. Yeah. And sometimes I wouldn't do it, and then they would be mad, and then that would be the fear would set in again and be like, oh, fuck, I have to do it.
Right.
So I don't know where that comes from. Yeah. I think it comes from just being a piece of shit, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think it's that.
Maybe not for you. For me, for sure.
I do remember, like, for almost my whole life, it was, like, external fear motivation. And then in college, like, and this wasn't that long ago.
You're such a dick.
I have my qualms about my age is that, like, and my therapist disagrees with me. Like, the title of my autobiography. But, like, I am very self-conscious about, like, not knowing things and being, like, very immature.
Yeah, you're self-conscious about being too young.
Yeah. Which is like, I know, fuck me. Like, yeah. But in college, I realized how, like, you can get away with murder. Like, you can truly just, like, not do your homework and not turn things in. And, like, it doesn't matter.
Right. You could get kicked out of school, but.
You could get kicked out of school. But, I mean, like, everything in moderation, sometimes you don't.
I did everything to have them kick me out until the point that they almost kicked me out.
Really?
I mean, I just, like, I really pushed it until I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I still had enough fear just stockpiled in me to the point where...
I had to be brought to fear. I mean, I guess I'm always in fear.
Right.
But then when you feel something all the time, it's like a physical pain. When you feel something all the time, it starts to not feel like anything. You get so used to it that you think that that's normal. So my baseline is very abnormal.
Right.
In general. I never feel like really truly content, but I think I am because it's just the same level of feeling of malcontent always feel. So I feel like, oh, this is fine, I feel okay.
Do you frequently, like, throughout the day I'll just tell myself, hey, relax your shoulders? Like,
yeah, I don't think about it, and then when someone says it to me and I do, it hurts so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've come a long way from talking about being too sensitive. Do you have any, I think I'm very much so trying to figure out, like, how to navigate these things, one, in, like, interpersonal relationships, and two, work relationships.
Yeah.
Totally different.
What's the biggest issue? Is, like, taking things personally, or?
I think it's just, taking things personally.
Yeah.
And not being able to communicate. Like, I think I have it in me. Like, I know how to construct a sentence where it's like, hey, I feel like this because of you, like, because of this thing that happened, not necessarily even you. But I don't do that frequently.
Do you think it would be more productive to have those conversations in, like, a work context, or to just have a conversation with yourself, figure out, like, identify what's really bothering you, and then letting it go?
I think it's way more productive for me to let things go. Like, oh, this is forgivable, or this it's actually hard, doesn't matter.
So if someone did something.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know.
What is this, a Frozen? What am I, Princess Elsa?
Yeah. The resemblance is staggering.
Thanks for listening to season 2. We'll be right back after a quick break.
Bye. We're back.
We're back.
What a great break.
What a great break.
I took a little nap.
Thanks for all of our sponsors.
Wouldn't that be crazy if we ever got one?
Yeah, that'd be nuts.
That probably won't happen. But Talkspace, where you
at? Oh, that online therapy company. Yeah. We're here for you.
Okay. My therapist is not through Talkspace.
Yeah, no. Our therapists are IRL, as the kids say.
Yeah, they are IRL. Oh, I wanted to ask you because you were having, last time we spoke about this on the podcast, you were not sure how you felt about your therapist. And we've also talked about this in real life, IRL, as the kids say. and I would love to know if you have any updates on your opinions of your therapist.
I think we don't think the same way.
Yeah.
So it is like, I think these are things that I've taken for granted in my past therapy experiences. In college.
Yeah, we all know about your college therapist, yeah.
In college, my therapist, who I dreamed of spooning me, once said to me early on, like, I think you and I think the same, like, similarly. And me, because I'm a shitty kid, I was like, no, you don't. Like,
you didn't realize you were craving that validation.
Yeah. It's like, I'm unique. Like, I know I'm wrong. Okay. But a surprising amount of this podcast is just me saying, I know I'm wrong, but, now like my therapist does not think in the same way that I do. Like,
can I ask though, if you're going to therapy because you have sort of issues with how you handle certain situations or you're worried about your mindset about things or you don't feel good most of the time, maybe going to somebody who thinks the same as you would be counterproductive?
Yeah, I think like on one hand it is really nice because someone understands, but then their therapist side kicks in and they have like the skills that they need to like help solve some of these problems.
Right, right.
This situation, albeit sometimes frustrating, is also helpful because when there is a miscommunication, like I think we think differently in that I will, when I have a problem, I will think about the emotional weight of it, like the emotional substance of it, and she's just like very like, why don't you just not? I almost added bra to the end of that, but in the past, like,
that's really
people
funny.
Would be more like my therapist would be more understanding of like, I'm taking this really hard.
Yeah.
But that's why
she said to you, you're a very serious person.
I think that's why she said that.
Yeah.
But this is also helpful because when there is a miscommunication, I can practice some of these skills of like, did you mean
there
this?
You go.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
That's actually pretty valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do notice that with my therapist sometimes I'll say something and she'll be like, oh, really? Like about something that like the way I think. But a lot of times it's the opposite where, it was funny. I'm sorry if I'm talking too much about my therapy, but I'm just excited I have one. It's really a lot of fun. She's really great.
Yeah.
So I was talking to her and she was starting to reveal like things about herself a little bit. And she like revealed her opinions about things. And I was feeling a little bit like, I don't know if this is like cool or not, but I like it. I don't know. Does yours share things about her personality?
She doesn't.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because I have just like a difficult to handle. I'm, you know.
You don't think people like opening up to you?
No, I don't know. But like, that's never been. I think I would also be shocked. Like, shocked, but
But it was funny to like hear her like openly swearing and openly like her face would visibly react to things in a way that was like satisfying to me because I wanted that reaction, but also I wasn't expecting that reaction from a therapist.
Right,
I would expect that from like a friend.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool, but also made me think like, are you legit or like what? She is for sure, but
yeah. No, I think it's like she's being very familiar with you.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. But it's weird.
In the Freud, in the stuff that I read about Freud and have not understood, there's like the ideas of like transference and countertransference. Don't understand what those means, but like vaguely it's the idea, and I know I'm getting this wrong, of like transference is what like you give to your therapist and countertransference is what they project back onto you. And it's a very interesting.
That is interesting. She's definitely not a Freudian.
Right. Psychoanalyst.
Right.
I don't know if this is a point, but he writes like what happens inevitably in all of these relationships is that like the relationship between the analyzee and the analyst has to come into question, like the very nature of that thing.
Right.
I don't know. It's very interesting that you're a therapist.
That is interesting. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast. No nerds allowed.
I guess we can
kind of
drag our bodies into the next segment.
Yeah, we got more segments. Okay.
So I didn't write a scene for this episode.
Yeah, and this is the format change. Where only one of us.
Only one of us is going to write, because it just was giving us too much anxiety.
Yeah. Ironically.
Yeah. So we're going to do it this way instead of me writing a scene. I'm just going to talk about some shit.
Okay, here we go with our production value.
What's it called again?
And now me. Okay.
That's so dumb.
Our headphones are broken, so okay, nothing's changed. The production value, it's still very low.
We thought we were hot shit. We're recording in studio instead of like in a cold or very hot room,
depending
on the day.
Yeah.
We're recording in studio. We thought this is gonna go so well. We had headphones on. Everything sounded great. Yeah. First half, and then right before the break. Anyway.
Yeah. Right before the break, the headphones break. Yeah. Sorry, the music cue's going on.
Oh, right.
And,
is it?
Yeah. Okay. And, okay. Welcome to And Now Me, a segment where the other person talks about their problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, that wasn't...
Well, look, we're in a really bad heat wave.
We're in a very bad heat wave.
I know that that's, like, not... I'm definitely
It's so
little...
hot outside and uncomfortable. It feels like Thanksgiving at my in-laws.
You did tweet that. And it's great.
I did tweet that and then tell you about it before.
You did tell me. So now I've experienced the tweet in a variety of ways.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's great the third time.
Sorry, the segment is about you.
It doesn't really have to be. I just, you know, we can both talk.
Right.
But the heat definitely gives me, the climate does definitely give me some anxiety, but it was all going fine. I didn't leave my house yesterday at all. It was a Friday, but I didn't leave. And then everything was going fine. We were going to have people over just to hang out. And
school, you have friends.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool that you have nice
It's really cool. It's not about inviting you, but then decided not to.
Really?
For a second. But then...
Wait, Rebecca, why didn't you invite me? Not saying that I would have come, like...
Well, we were going to invite more people and potentially you as well. And then we were cleaning the apartment and I had just put the bedding in the washing machine.
Because like, someone would hate this bedding.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So he can never come over because if he even gets a sense of what kind of sheets we use.
And I hope the listeners know that my outrage is fake because Rebecca knows how much I hate doing most things.
Yeah, like, no, yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. But to be fair, we genuinely were...
I appreciate that.
Going to.
Yeah.
But before we even had the opportunity to, the sheets had just entered the washer.
Mm.
5 minutes into the cycle, we had a blackout.
Oh.
So everything shut off, our entire building, and all the buildings surrounding us. So, full blackout.
How long did it last?
It lasted about 6 hours.
Jesus. But did you throw everything out in your fridge?
No, because the fridge is like technically fine for 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
That's the first thing I thought of too, but apparently it's fine. That was not great. So, we were in total darkness and it was 106 degrees outside, literally. Yeah. That's not like a, you know.
No, my car said 120.
Yeah, in the valley, it was for sure 120. I am not in the valley. But it was very fucking hot.
You can't see it right now, but Rebecca's dabbing.
Yeah. It was just, it's very scary because we have a lot of old people in our building and like the building's like 13 stories high. And
you're scared of old people.
Oh yeah. And the number 13. No, it just like the elevators were broken. The elevators were off.
Yeah.
You know, people are on ventilators, like
for sure.
Nursing homes, like all of this shit. It's very scary. And you know, there were blackouts all over the city. So we just like escaped so that I could charge my computer. Because even though we didn't have Wi-Fi in the apartment, I wanted to make sure that my computer was charged.
Right.
Because what if, like, for some reason, I don't know, I just, even though I knew I wouldn't be able to use it for anything, I like had to have it charged. I get very nervous when I can't charge my devices.
Yeah, I get that too.
It makes me feel, you know, like, so there's that one episode of The Twilight Zone where the old man hates people and he doesn't like interacting with people and all he likes is to read books and he's a bank teller and he never wants to talk to anyone. He's very antisocial. I related to this character a lot
too.
As a child.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a powerful episode. So he spends all his time like being nasty to people and like ignoring them and he's always reading at work instead of like doing his job.
Mm.
And then he realizes that if he goes into the bank vault and just sits in there, it's totally quiet. He can just read.
But he gets stuck in there.
No.
Okay.
He can just read and no one will bother him. So he keeps going there on his like lunch breaks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he's in there and the apocalypse happens. And the entire world is destroyed, but he is in his vault with all his books, and he doesn't realize. So when he opens up the vault, everything around him is gone. But and it's like a desert landscape. It's like a wasteland. But there are books everywhere, and all people are dead. And he's so happy. He's finally in, and then his glasses break.
And he
can't read.
I think Avatar The Last Airbender did that. God damn it.
It's very haunting.
Oh, boy.
I've never seen Avatar The Last Airbender.
I'm embarrassed.
I know it's very good. Everyone loves it. But anyway, so that that episode used to give me a lot of nightmares as a child because it was very upsetting to me. And that's how I feel when I can't charge my computer. So it's a very long-winded way of saying I had to go to a Thai restaurant to charge my computer because even though I wasn't going to be able to use it at home, if it died, I would die too.
Yeah.
So that was annoying.
I think I also have would you describe, I think I have an unfortunately, I'm not happy about how intimate my relationship is with technology.
Yeah.
Intimate's a strange word, but
But
yeah, because I got a phone. I got an Android phone.
This was so much fun. This was really, really fun. Yusung complained for, I want to say 2 months about how he hates having an iPhone. He had an old iPhone and he hated it and he wanted to switch. He wanted to be free of Apple and it was going to be so great. He was showing me all these pictures of these beautiful, sleek Android phones and I was like, cool, cool, cool. But what about iMessage? What about FaceTime? What about everything that you love? What about the fact that you have an Apple Watch? The fact that you have an Apple laptop? The fact that, everything you own is Apple?
Apple Watch was a gift. I did not buy an Apple Watch.
It doesn't really matter. All right. It doesn't fucking matter. You're a little Apple boy and you're never going to escape it. And I was like, look, I fully encourage you to get an Android, but mark my words, you'll last 2 weeks.
Right. I lasted 1 week.
Barely.
Okay.
Barely.
And the night that I got it, I was so I think also my just general life wasn't going well.
Oh, yeah.
And to be presented with this unfamiliar piece of technology, I just felt so lost and stranded.
Yeah.
That, and then I listened to a K-pop girl group song and it gave me a lot of joy. It brought me a lot of comfort. And I was why the fuck am I experiencing these super intense emotions because of a phone?
Yeah.
So all that's to say, I was, not that I was wrong. It's a good phone. It makes my laptop less valuable.
Look, I also hate the feeling of being
trapped,
they're little bitch. I don't like that feeling.
Right.
But
isn't it fucked up how if you go to Apple stores to buy a new phone, they make you crawl on the floor and beg for
it? I kind of like it. Anyway. It's great. That's a thing. But speaking of crawling on the floor.
Yeah.
We're both I wouldn't say fairly germophobic, right?
You're more germophobic
than me. I used to be worse about it, but I just, again, it's caring about things is very hard for me. So I care less now.
Is this still me?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
So I would typically I don't want to touch the floor. I would never eat something that fell on the floor. Yeah. I would never, But and this is a very anxious day for me. So this was a few days ago in the office. I wasn't feeling well. And all of a sudden, I'm sorry to new listeners, I promise that this isn't a thing where I'm a girl and I talk about my period.
Right.
This isn't I don't really talk about this regularly, but it was day uno.
Right.
And hit me a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
And usually that happens somehow magically. I happen
more
to
be, exclamation.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah. Somehow I'm lucky enough that usually ends up happening at home.
Right,
but it happened in the office. Yeah. And I felt so violently ill that I actually thought I was dying. And
Rebecca really wasn't feeling well. She was sitting down downstairs in our office.
Yeah.
Are you okay? We talked and she was just give me a second. I'm probably going to go home. I went upstairs to do some work.
Yeah.
I came back down. Rebecca's lying.
Well, first I was sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
I was and you said, are you okay? I said, no, I'm not. And I was I need help. And I had to lay down on the floor in the fetal position. Luckily I had a jacket. I could put my head on it, but it hit me all of your anxieties.
Rebecca, I didn't know you were such a heavy metal fan.
Yeah.
Because you let your body hit the floor.
Yeah. it hit me that when it comes to physical pain, any anxiety that you have, any external, internal, whatever, thing becomes so trivial in that moment. I would have laid down in the subway. I would have laid down in literal dirt. I would have laid down in mud.
Right.
I in that moment, like, your head kind of, everything, it's like tunnel vision. Like, nothing matters. Germs don't matter.
Right.
Shame doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that I'm in a fucking office filled with people that right. are going to see me lying in the middle of the floor like a literal baby. Like, I had hot yeah. flashes and cold sweats. I right. was very, very hot and very, very cold.
Well, you did ask for a pacifier.
Yeah, I did. And I said, wah!
Yeah.
I was sucking my thumb.
Yeah.
And it was like really jarring. I realized like I'm literally lying on the floor. The floor is disgusting.
Yeah.
And I didn't even care. And the only thing I was thinking, and I kept thinking like, this is so embarrassing. But then I was like, I feel like I might be dying. So it doesn't matter.
I don't think it was embarrassing. I guess
it wasn't.
Yeah.
But thinking about it now, like, it just hit me so suddenly
right.
how everything I was anxious about kind of vanished in the face of like true physical agony.
Who are you? The stranger?
Oh.
Camus?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rebecca got me a really nice gift. She got me The Stranger by Camus. It's really good.
I thought it was weird that you hadn't read it.
Yeah.
Because it seems like very on brand.
Yeah, yeah. French existentialist?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Talk about an afternoon.
Yeah. It's a brutal book.
Anyway, are you okay?
Oh, I'm totally okay, fine. Okay. I mean, it's normal. This happens to me almost every month, but it's just I'm usually at home. So it's scary being in an office. Like, it did make me feel incredibly anxious because like feeling like I couldn't drive. I was like scared. And after an hour, I was fine, but I was literally on the floor for an hour.
Right. Oh, boy.
It's really weird. It's like you feel like out of control when you don't have control over your physical self.
I think like when I'm hungry, like I know this is several degrees of magnitudes less intense than what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
But just when I'm hungry, like, fuck everything.
Fuck everything.
Like,
yeah.
I just want food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same. It's like physical, I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
like your brain just shuts down. Like all of your mental stuff just kind of.
Well, that's why like you ever read those articles that are like being poor changes the way your brain like.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because your priorities are different. And if you are like this frequently, it certainly rewires things. It's just super fucked up. Like,
it's also like goes back to the thing of like when you feel bad all the time, your baseline changes. Like you don't know what feeling good is.
Yeah, that's, oh boy. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Can I get that inscribed on a gong so I can hit it every morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said to me not long ago, you were like, when was the last time you felt like happy? I was like, I don't know. It was the other day, I guess. You were like, I literally don't know when the last time I wasn't depressed was.
Right.
And that was really jarring. I'm worried about you.
I appreciate that. This
was a little while ago.
Yeah. And for some reason, it makes me happy to let the listeners know that we talk like this.
Oh, yeah. We don't need just,
Yeah, in our day-to-day lives. But that's a great segue. Season 2 is all about the segues. Just gotta unlock my computer so to hit the sound cue. Okay. Welcome to Moderate Case Scenario for Gradual Self-Improvement.
Ooh, ooh.
A hallmark of Worst Case Scenario. This is something where we're going to talk about what we're going to do in the upcoming week or near future to try to change our lives for the better.
Yeah.
Okay.
After you.
Okay, here's the thing. I've been making my bed for 2 days now.
Oh my God. Wait, it's a game changer.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Okay, because
do you not think so?
I like it, but I'm like,
great.
I tweeted this out. I was like, punch me in the face the next time I say it. I tweeted this out in real life. Sorry, I'll be less harsh on myself. But I was like, as I was making my bed the first morning, I was like, a part of me genuinely believed maybe this will solve everything. And
it helps.
It obviously won't, but it certainly helps.
What was it, like happy bed, happy head? You know?
Wait, is it?
No.
Happy arm, happy farm? Like,
it's like happy life, happy wife, happy life.
Oh,
yeah. But I think it works.
Yeah. I think it certainly helps with, like, one, like, self-regulation. Like, I want to say discipline.
Fiber.
Sorry, I was searching for discipline. So it has been helping in that sense. Like,
yeah.
And it's nice to come home to a made bed, and I can just kind of, like, pop down onto a made bed.
Yes, coming home to it. It's like when you're doing it, you're like, well, what the fuck? But then, I don't know, when I see my bed made, did you used to make your bed growing up? Because I never did.
I never did.
Ever.
Yeah.
And my grandma is, like, a huge proponent of making beds.
Right, she's,
like, really into it.
Yeah.
And she, so weird thing to be into, but she really is. And she always would say to me, like, why don't you make your bed in the morning? I'm like, no. She's like, I can't do anything before I make my bed.
Yeah.
Like, you're a freak. But okay, she was fucking right.
Right.
And it's so easy too.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
When I was a kid, I was like, this is so annoying.
And most likely your sheet will be stuck to your blanket. So you don't even have to like,
exactly.
You don't
it's
even
like
have to
even,
do the.
It's not even hard. I know.
When did I get so boring? But like, I
no, but it's, look, these little things are so important for mental health. I swear. Like, they are game changing. Like, your physical space, it affects your mental health.
Yeah, for sure. Physical space, physical face.
Okay.
And another thing. Maybe more helpful than the...
Sure.
I'm going to see a psychiatrist.
Oh, that's
for
great.
For maybe some medication.
That might be helpful.
All about that base... I'm all about that Wellbutrin prescription,
okay.
Perhaps.
All right. Well, yeah. That's if that's what they prescribe you.
Yeah. Do you not get to... I might, like... Because I've tried other things, and they haven't worked. And they, like... And I've heard good things, not only from you and your friends, but also my friends.
Yeah. I've never taken it, so
I don't know.
But...
And obviously, like, it works differently for everyone.
It works
and this is American Health Association does not endorse this podcast.
But stress gives you cancer.
But stress is definitely not good for you, and so...
Okay.
I was talking to my friend about it,
mm-hmm.
and I hope she doesn't mind that I say this, but like I was asking her, like, she told me that she was taking it, and then afterwards I was like, I don't know how to ask this except in a very melodramatic way. Do you still feel all your feelings as deeply and as profoundly as you did before? And she knowingly was like, yes.
Yeah.
The only thing that gives you nausea.
Yeah. Everyone's been talking about that comedy special, Nanette. By Hannah Gatsby. It's on Netflix.
Oh, I haven't
She's
seen
an Australian
it
comedian. I mean, it was good. It was like
I've seen a clip of it.
Yeah,
is it the Van Gogh?
Yeah. But that was a big part of it where she got into an argument with someone about Van Gogh, about mental health and about artists, like the misconception that you have to feel bad in order to produce great art.
That
but
you have
also,
to be tortured. To
right,
be
and that also that taking medication means you don't feel things. And she's like, I'm on medication, I feel things very deeply. But, that's just a very oversimplified thesis
it's a good stand-up routine.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not like joke heavy. It's
more
storytelling.
Yeah.
It's good. It's definitely powerful. I recommend it. But that was an interesting thing because a lot of people say that people have issues with certain medications where it makes them feel numb or makes them feel just very leveled out to the point where they don't feel any highs or any lows. So... but then
just caught in the undertow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But also you don't want to feel the worst things all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
I just not my words, but just it would be nice to have something to help stop the spiraling, the anxiety.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
When you feel like you're out of control, that's the part that I don't know. I took a Xanax the other day.
Mm.
I wasn't feeling it's not my prescription. And that I don't recommend taking medication that's not prescribed to them, but it definitely really helped. I was having a little bit of a panic attack. I should have written it down because I genuinely don't remember what I was panicking about. I just really felt really anxious. And I took someone else's Xanax and it really helped. But then I felt anxious again the other day, a few days after that, and the Xanax was offered to me again. And I was like, no, because I don't
want to
single time, like, my brain just immediately goes, ooh, Xanax. Like, I just want to be able to, like, you know.
Xanax, please.
I want to be able to, like, acknowledge my feelings and, like, try to deal with them as much as I can without medication. I don't think I'm at a point where I need to be medicated.
Right.
Regularly. But sometimes that shit works.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Sometimes.
So I'm optimistic, but not like...
Do you think you're going to look for something that's specifically for depression or for anxiety or for both?
Apparently, Wellbutrin is for both. Same with Lexapro. And like, even though that didn't really hit the spot, I guess. definitely something in the both realm.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people, if you have one, you probably have the other.
Yeah.
It's not the same for everybody, but a lot of people have both.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah,
I don't mean to dominate moderate case scenario for gradual self improvement.
Oh no, please do. I mean,
no, that's all I have though.
Okay.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do? I should probably journal more. It was helpful when I was doing it, and I think she was saying that like it doesn't have to be these big. She said start small. That was like the best way to make changes in your life,
right,
and to sort of adjust behavior is to start really small in a manageable way where you don't feel overwhelmed. And you can make little changes that you implement every day so that it becomes you're breaking bad habits and forming good habits. And it's such a like no shit, obviously, kind of thing. But like it's nice to have it, you know, repeated to you. And writing down lists of like just to-do lists in general, yeah, are so helpful. Like it, even writing stuff down that I have to do, like when I think about writing them down, I feel so stressed out because it feels like an insane amount of things. And then I physically write them down and it immediately feels easier, right?
Yeah,
and then you,
yeah,
can physically cross stuff out.
Yeah.
It really helps. I get into habits of doing them and then I stop doing them and then I get anxious again.
I definitely agree that like writing is super helpful. And this isn't even to like an anxiety point, but just if you write down what you did that day, it feels like you've lived a day. Like,
yeah,
versus
totally.
Turns out watching other people play video games does not give you a lot of time to reflect on like, you know, who you are and what you've become.
Yeah.
So
one of my friends found like an old diary that she had when she was, she listens to the podcast, hey Emily. She found an old like diary that she had when she was a kid and she was like reading it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like bringing back all these memories and she was like having a really, you know, good time, like re-experiencing like the awkwardness of,
right,
you know,
right,
youth. And I was like, fuck, I really feel like it, like such a piece of shit that I was never able to keep one because it's,
yeah,
so like, it's such good material too. If you want to do comedy or if you want to, yeah, be a writer or anything, like being able to look back and remember, like, I don't remember how I felt most of the time growing up. Like I don't,
yeah,
I only remember the really bad stuff. I don't really remember the good stuff. And even some of the bad stuff, I think I probably blocked out. It would have been nice to be able to tap back into those emotions and like.
Well, I had a blog for like a very long time, but I,
yeah,
only wrote about the bad stuff. So
yeah,
like I
so it's
also
like, it's a very skewed.
Yeah, it's a very skewed,
yeah,
look,
well, 'cause
back
when
on
you're,
memory
when
lane.
You're really happy, it's kind of hard to like. You don't. You're not thinking about like I gotta write this down. You're
right,
like,
right,
you're like, I'm fucking loving life.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think. I mean, I've never experienced that, but.
Yeah.
You
the
know?
Closest that I've experienced to that is like music sounds better today. Like the same song will sound better today.
Yeah,
that is the closest I will get to,
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
Yeah. That or like food tastes better.
Food tastes better. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Because
when you're
things.
Depressed and like food is just like garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is just like tastes like nothing.
Yeah.
That's scary when that happens.
Yeah.
So yeah, writing stuff down more. That's a pretty big thing. I also I had surgery in February on my wrist and like I was doing a lot better and it's been hurting so much again.
Oof.
Like hurting as much as it did before.
Fuck.
I had surgery, which is really also giving me anxiety. And I went to the doctor and he was like, I just haven't really been doing my like
wrist exercises.
I haven't been doing my like physical therapy exercises because,
right,
I stopped going. I ended physical therapy and I haven't been keeping up with it. And I think that's been,
right,
making it worse. So I think I just need to do that and it'll make me feel less anxious about the fact that I like underwent surgery for maybe no reason. So like I have to.
Yeah. Would,
you know,
it help or hurt if I
you
did
them
the rest
with
exercises with you?
No. You're all good.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, something, just physical manifestations of things. Like write stuff down.
Yeah.
And like, take care of yourself. Take care of your fucking body, you bag of shit. That's what I say in the morning in the mirror to,
right,
myself.
Right. For new listeners, please know that while we are setting these goals, do not get your, like, we will most likely disappoint ourselves and you if you're rooting for us.
Yeah. I definitely will say that since starting therapy,
yeah,
I've gotten a lot more done than I had in the months prior to it. Like,
yeah, yeah,
I feel like maybe it's because I want her to be proud of me. Also because, like I said, I don't like lying and I want to be,
right,
able to honestly say to her, I did these things. Like, I had a bag of, I think I talked about it on the podcast like a long time ago, that I had a bag of clothes to take to the dry cleaners that I literally had sitting in my apartment for 2 years,
yeah,
literally 2 years.
Yeah.
And I forgot about it and I just kept forgetting about it. And
sounds like a gift that my,
yeah,
in-laws
and,
gave me.
And we talked about it one time in therapy, like the second session.
Mm-hmm.
And that next week I like went and I got it done. And it's such,
nice,
a stupid little baby thing, but like I did it and it felt good. And so I've just been like doing more stuff like that.
Do you think that,
and it helps,
do you, like, obviously, like it's good to For anyone, it's good to get these things done. Do you think she would reply like, are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for me?
No, I'm definitely doing it for myself, but I like having somebody there.
To hold you accountable, kind of.
Yeah. It just helps me. Like, I don't want to make myself feel bad about that yet.
Yeah.
You know?
If anyone's listening, please get a therapist. It's like...
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, like, you might feel like it's very self-indulgent and pointless, and maybe for you it is, but it also might help. I don't know.
Yeah, and...
My therapist said, because I asked her, sorry, I know we're like, you know,
no,
rambling, but I said to her in that day that I came and I was like, I don't know if this is helping. Like, I said to her, how long do people typically go for to therapy? And she said the national average is 6 to 8 sessions or 6 to 8 months or something like that. Whoa. And I was like, that's so short.
Yeah.
I feel like in Los Angeles and New York, everyone goes like, for their whole, you just go forever, you're always in therapy. And she was like, yeah, I said the national average, meaning like not LA and not New York. In LA and New York, for sure, people are in it like forever, because it's just the culture or whatever. She said that's not to say one is right and one is wrong. Some people just go because of a specific issue and then they feel that issue has been resolved and they don't feel like they need to go anymore. Other people, it's like a lifestyle. It's like it helps them in a lot of areas and whatever. And then she said she had a patient. She tells me sometimes about patients, but she doesn't name names, and so I feel like it's okay. Don't know. It makes me a little nervous about. I don't want her to talk about my shit, but whatever. I don't care.
Name is a smile.
Anyway, she said that she had one patient that was coming to her, or maybe still is, for like several years, and she wasn't seeing any improvement, and he was like the same all the time, and she herself was thinking, maybe this isn't working. Like, I don't think I'm helping this person. Like, they're coming here and their life isn't changing and they're still upset about the things they're upset about and things are still not good. And then he said to her one time that the only day that he showers and leaves his house is the day that he comes to therapy. And she was like, okay, yeah, you have to kill. I can't not have you come here. Like, it's very important. So, you know, even if it's just for that, even if it's just for something so basic as to, like,
get out of bed.
I mean, that to me was very intense. Like, that's a lot. I don't want to say crazy, but like, that's something I can't relate to, and I feel badly for that person.
Yeah.
But fuck, like, if that sounds like you, for sure, get yourself a person, because
Anyway, welcome to season
not
two.
To end on a downer.
We're gonna have some guests on this season.
Yeah, we are.
Unless all of them say no, but we're gonna.
Yeah,
have
we
some
haven't
guests.
Asked them
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, we haven't asked
but,
them yet.
We're planning on it.
And so be on the lookout for those episodes.
Thanks for listening.
thanks for listening to the first episode of season 2 of Worst Case Scenario. It really means a lot. Thank you to Emily, to Rebecca's friend, for listening.
Yeah, thanks for finding your diary and for listening to the show.
Yeah. If you want to write to us, please do. Our email is worstcasescenariopod@gmail.com, and we respond to everything.
Yeah. And you can follow us on Instagram, too, if you want. It's Worst Case Scenario Pod.
And we have a Twitter.
Oh, yeah, we do. I forgot about that. We do.
I think it's Worst Case Pod.
Worst Case Pod.
We'll use it more.
Is it Worst Case Pod?
Yeah. If not, we'll change this outro. But our music was done by @notalent__ on Twitter. You should check him out. And our art was done by @artbyroughhouse. That's art by RUFFHOUSE on Instagram. You should check it out, too.
And can confirm, the Twitter is Worst Case Pod.
So follow us there. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.